Well met, and welcome to episode 25, the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for December 27th, 2009. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Greetings. This is Bill Walthall, and this week we're going to wrap up our month-long discussion of the third part of Henry VI with an overview of the play, a discussion of possible casting, and a production concept. Plus, we'll do our usual recap of this week's blog entries. Okay, the third part of Henry VI is part of a series of four closely related history plays, a tetralogy. But as Richard III, the next play, is seen as a play that can stand on its own, the third part of Henry VI can be viewed like that of a concluding chapter of a prequel book, or a kind of season finale for a television show. And as a season finale, it should wrap up the main plot lines of the current season and start a couple new ones for the next season. So in that respect, how does the third part hold up? Well, pretty damn well. We have closure on the characters of York and Henry, we have a new king in Edward, a new heir in young Ned, a new villain in Richard, and a lingering one, possibly, in Queen Margaret. Yeah, tune in to watch the next season of that show. Now, of the histories, I'm going to put this one at the top of my list, bumping last year's second part from the top slot. As for the canon as a whole, I'd put it behind Titus and maybe Comedy of Errors as a tight third overall. I like this play. Despite its wildly inaccurate history, it has a great narrative drive, very movie-like in the changes of fortune in those first two acts. Yeah, I like it. And because I like it, it's easier for me to come up with some interesting casting thoughts and a production concept. So who would I put in a cast of the third part of Richard VI film? Well, first, let's start with Warwick. I want Warwick to be a leader of men. Calm, cool, but still a warrior. Someone who commands respect vocally, visually. But I want him political. Someone that we're never sure of. In much the same way as Edward doesn't see his act of marrying Lady Grey as being enough for Warwick to turn against him. And who better than Lance Reddick, who played one of the top cops in The Wire and who is now the government boss in the series Fringe. He's about the right age, 40, playing 43, but more importantly, he's aristocratically imposing. Now, not imposing physically, but scary all the same, is young Clifford. He's a young man on a mission to kill as many Yorks as he can. Cruel, a little crazed, definitely dangerous, and out of control. I see him wild-eyed one minute, dead-eyed the next. I also see him as relatively short. Now, Harry Potter's Daniel Radcliffe fits the bill for me at 5'8". I want to accentuate Clifford's youth, so Radcliffe will play a little young, 20 playing younger than Clifford's real age of 26. Don't think Radcliffe can play crazy? I'm not so sure either, but it will force him to stretch. And keep this in mind as we'll stretch him even further in a few moments. As for my aging, weak-willed Henry, I'd like to cast Woody Harrelson. The age is about right, 48 playing 50. I want his hair either short-cropped to barely disguise his baldness, or with his natural hair longer, wispier, giving his sunken cheeks an even sicklier impression. I want his eyes wasted, not crazed, a man folding in on himself. He wants to be strong, but he can't. Would love to not be king, but he can't. Maybe even play him a bit effeminate, not foppish or outrageously gay, but weak and sad. And who saddens him the most? His queen, a woman who doesn't love him, only loves her son and the possibility that he may one day be king. A queen willing to relinquish all femininity to make that happen. A stronger leader and a fiercer warrior than the king. A woman with cruelty, a woman whose face and body are hard-edged, angular, not soft and feminine, and certainly not voluptuous, but flinty. Now, though she's known for playing comedy, Sandra Bullock may be able to pull this off. Her recent turn in The Blind Side shows a certain level of seriousness and ferocity. Now, she's a little old, 45 playing Margaret's 40, but that age isn't too apparent, and if it is, then we can attribute it to her loss of Suffolk as a lover a few years earlier. Now, I didn't mean to put a Bullock co-star in another role, but I can completely see Ryan Reynolds playing Edward IV. Bullock's love interest from The Proposal is the right age, 33 playing 30, but more importantly, he's handsome and charming, the kind of man who gets what he wants. And as the wanton Edward, we can picture Reynolds having any woman in the kingdom, and being more preoccupied with that than anything else. As Edward's younger brother George, I want someone quiet, pensive, thoughtful, maybe too thoughtful. Someone not strong, though not nearly as weak as Henry. Certainly someone in need of prompting, of controlling. Now, though he's a little older than the part, 29 playing 23, Jake Gyllenhaal, I think, would make a great Duke of Clarence. He's a solid actor. Brokeback Mountain, anyone? But despite roles in Jarhead and Brothers and the upcoming Prince of Persia movie, and here I'm even stifling a little laugh, he's never appeared to be warrior-like to me. So, Gyllenhaal it is for George. Now, for the piece de resistance, Richard, Duke of Gloucester. Here, I want to play off the concept of orphan sons. What does the death of the father do to a child? It made Henry weak. It made Clifford bloodthirsty. But Clifford is killed early, before we see where that bloodthirstiness would lead. Would it lead to the same place where Richard's grief does? To evil? This is why in a film version, I would want to try something different. I would want to double cast the roles of Clifford and Richard. I would want Daniel Radcliffe to play both parts. Show the parallels between the roles, but then show where the unquenchable quest for revenge leads. To evil. I said earlier that Radcliffe as a crazed Clifford might be a stretch. To play the evil incarnate in Richard, well, that's a challenge. One that I would love to see Radcliffe attempt. Now, all those castings are for a straight cinematic production. That's the only way we could pull off the Richard Clifford double casting. But what about a stage production concept? Well, the episodic nature of the histories can make that hard, especially given the play's non-standalone status. However, I've been doing some reading about other stage productions, real high-concept stuff for other plays, think Midsummer in a Park or Comedy of Errors in a Circus, that sort of thing. And I think I've come up with something. Of course, it might mean tossing out the preceding cast, especially the double casting, but I think it may just work either way. I see this play as one about petty squabbling, which family is better, that has horrible consequences. I picture two boys, one in a white shirt, one in red, fighting over a hat on the playground. That's the opening image, with the other kids, all in those colored shirts as well, urging them on, all in front of a closed curtain on a proscenium arch stage. The kid in the red shirt gets control of the hat, and the white-shirted kid knocks him down. The red shirt scrambles to his feet and flees with his friends as the other group chases them off stage. Then the curtain opens, revealing an oversized playground in decay. A huge merry-go-round is upstage, not flat, but put up at an angle so that we can see it, all of it, one half in red, the other in white. It will become the visual metaphor for the ever-turning wheel of fortune. There are also swings, monkey bars, climbing walls, a slide, huge, so big that it can become a platform on which the actors can work. By the end of the play, however, it will be toppled, ruined, nothing more than debris, like all the other pieces of playground equipment. Now, there's a part of me that would love to take it even one step further and scrap the cast developed above and replace the professional actors with kids. But while in theory that may be cool, in practice, it would inevitably lead to a disastrous train wreck. Best to keep the cast and let the design drive the thematic concept. And if that's the case, I think I would have to replace Radcliffe as Clifford with someone else. Who? I'm not so sure. At 46, I'm not as good picking young actors as I was when I was more pop culturally literate, sorry to say. Okay, that's another play down. Six down, and we're 1/6 of the way through the project. We're over 200 blog entries in, and this is the 25th podcast. I've written nearly 160,000 words. We're also at the end of a calendar year, and there is much to come. But first, there is the culmination to this history series in Richard III, and frankly, I'm a little scared. I'm afraid of Richard, Duke of Gloucester. Not the character, but the play, Richard III. It's a big bloody play. The second longest in the canon. Only Hamlet has more lines and words. Richard will be the longest play we've read thus far, a full 20% larger than our previous longest, last month's The Second Part. But more important than that, it's an important play. It's got a boatload of film versions to review. It's iconic. Now, can I do the play justice in just a single month? Should I stretch it to 2 months? See, that's the fear. The histories have taken their toll on me, too. I've written fewer and fewer words with each history, and part of that is the sheer amount of plot that's shoved into those histories, the amount to digest. And since they're histories, the amount of stuff that I want to fact check. It's been daunting. And because it's been the same type of play 3 months in a row, I've also found myself in a kind of rut in my approach, all of which makes me uncomfortable. And next month is going to be a killer. Of course, on the bright side, the typical histories are done for a while as Richard III is a standalone, and in some ways more of a tragedy than a history. It's going to be tough, but at least it looks like 2010 is going to open with a blast. Now, if you've enjoyed this podcast, but you haven't been following along with our daily blog entries this week, you've missed out on subjects including Brother, Can You Lend Me a Hand? Or Two? Shakespeare's English Succession of Kings, updated. Richard Knows Where the Body's Buried. A pause to discuss stage directions. Visions of Johanna, Richard. And That Old Black Magic, Richard the Witch. So, if you'd like more in-depth discussions or just want a daily fix, check out the blog entries at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Or become a fan of our Facebook page. Now, the Facebook page is more for Shakespeare news than the daily discussions of our Play of the Month. Also, if you have any question or comment about this or any other Bill Shakespeare Project podcast or blog entry, you can always lob me an email at bill@thebillshakespeareproject.com. And of course, please join us again for our next podcast. I hope to see you then. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for December 27th, 2009. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we shall see thee anon.